When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi there, this is K-Town, and you're listening to Mysterious Radio. And now, for this UFO news segment with Heidi Hollis.
In an article coming to us from space.com, Western U.S. residents report the most UFO sightings. What are they actually seeing? It goes on to say, it's difficult to explain why we have this many more sightings in the West. Those of us in the Western U.S. who enjoy vast open spaces may also be more likely to report UFO sightings, a new study suggests. An analysis of unidentified aerial phenomena, or UAP, reports UAP is a new umbrella term that includes UFOs, not just in the sky, but also in space and underwater, suggests local environmental factors play a role in the number of UAP sightings reported. The study, based on about 98,000 reports over 20 years, as cataloged in an open source online data set maintained by the National UFO Research Center, modeled how reported UAP sightings coincide with environmental variables such as light pollution and cloud cover, as well as things like proximity to airports and military installations. The results reveal the majority of reported sightings originate in the Western U.S., along with a smaller hotspot in the Northeastern U.S. Quote, it was completely unexpected, Richard Medina, a geographer at the University of Utah who led the study, told Space.com. Continues, quote, it's difficult to explain why we have this many more sightings in the West. Pinning down the environmental context of these sightings is important when considering explanations for presumed UAP occurrences. It can also help scientists differentiate between non-results and truly anomalous sightings that may be a legitimate threat, said Medina. He and his colleagues posit that the large number of sightings in the Western U.S. can partly be explained by its wide open spaces and all-year temperature weather, which draw people outside for recreational activities. Quote, people are out and looking skyward, Medina said in a statement. The West's historical relationship with UAPs could also be contributing to the high number of reports from the region, the researchers say. Nevada's fabled Area 51, for instance, is infamous as the speculated testing ground for alien technology. The highly classified military facility, about 100 miles or 160 kilometers from Las Vegas, has tested odd-shaped surveillance aircraft since at least the 1980s, thus sparking suspicion and conspiracy theories about the U.S. government testing alien technology. After the U.S. government acknowledged the facility for the first time in 2013 and released associated documents, many reports of UFO sightings matched with dates and times of flights of experimental aircraft classified at the time. In another example, the desert town of Roswell in New Mexico became well known for the purported crash of a flying saucer back in 1947 after a couple of residents came across wreckage of rubber strips and tinfoil. The U.S. Air Force, however, later disclosed the remains were from a classified multi-balloon project to sniff out Soviet nuclear tests. Such incidents may have led to an increased number of UAP sightings, suggesting people are spotting terrestrial objects, but not recognizing them to be such. Medina and his colleagues argue this. Quote, we make no hypothesis about what people are seeing, only that they will see more when and where they have opportunity to. The researchers write in their paper, quote, "The question remains, however, as to what the sighting reports are of." So what are people actually seeing? The National UFO Reporting Center is a public self-reporting system, although the data bank's website does state its staff removes obvious hoaxes, as well as highlights a small subset of potentially interesting, credible cases reported by trained observers, such as pilots or those with clear video or photo evidence. In this data set, Medina, his co-authors, analyzed two factors for sightings in each U.S. county. The first had to do with sky view potential, which includes the region's light pollution, cloud cover, and tree canopy cover. The second dealt with the likelihood that objects in general are in the sky, which considers things like proximity to airports and military installations. Quote, "There's more technology in the sky than ever before. So the question is, what are people actually seeing?" Medina said in a statement. It's a tough question to answer, and it is an important one because any uncertainty can be a potential threat to national security, end quote. When the researchers started their analysis, they expected the number of UAP sightings to increase relatively slowly over time, thanks to the advances in the internet that improved the ability to report. Quote, "But that's not what we see," said Medina. "We see these really unique patterns, and we're not sure how to explain those. For instance, UAP reports across two decades peaked in 2014 when 8,000 sightings were entered into the National UFO Reporting Center database. Additionally, in a stark contrast to the high number of UAP sightings in the West, the central and southern U.S. remain woefully empty." Quote, "We really don't know at this point why there are fewer sightings in the South," said Medina. "The results we're getting are supported by the research, but we could still be wrong, too," he added. Early last month, a highly anticipated report by the Pentagon's UFO office found, quote, "no empirical evidence," end quote, that the U.S. government was covering up knowledge about alien technology, and said there was no evidence that any of the reported UFO sightings represented extraterrestrial spacecraft. That report, a 63-page review of classified documents since the 1940s that was mandated by Congress, noted many UAP reports remain unsolved or unidentified due to a lack of data. If better quality information were to become available, many of those unresolved sightings could be identified as ordinary objects of phenomena. The report said Christopher Mellon, the former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Intelligence, previously told Space.com that hundreds of credible military reports remain unexplained and are continuing to pour in. Now, ongoing work by Medina and his team is exploring whether there are temporal patterns in the National UFO Reporting Center data. Other variables such as drone activity, science balloons, and other socio-cultural aspects will also be examined to see whether they correlate with the reported sightings. Medina told Space.com, quote, "We're just barely getting started." In other news, on scientificamerican.com, the government's former UFO hunter found something more concerning than aliens. Sean Kirkpatrick looked into the skies and deep into government archives for extraterrestrials. What he found is, to him, more concerning than little green men, he says. For the past decade, reports of UFO sightings have filled headlines and news broadcasts, and some of these have come from a surprising place: the Pentagon. Former defense officials have made a number of claims about and released videos of strange sightings made by military pilots. Now, these days, the objects are officially called UAP, unidentified anomalous phenomena. But regardless of the new branding, Congress has demanded answers on these objects, especially after one former official this summer claimed that he believed that the U.S. possessed non-human spacecraft and possibly their dead pilots, I should say last summer. In an interview by Dan Vergano, who interviewed Sean Kirkpatrick, he states that when he was speaking to the official intelligence, Sean Kirkpatrick, who until the past December headed the All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, better known as ARRO, the Pentagon office that Congress was told to find some answers to all of this. He recently published an op-ed in Scientific American, and it is called, Here's What I Learned as the U.S. Government's UFO Hunter. So some of these questions that Don Vergano posed to Kirkpatrick goes as follows. So Vergano says, can I talk a little bit about your office's search through past records, like what you'd find? What did Congress ask you to look for? And Kirkpatrick says, sure. Well, the Congress really gave us two main missions. There was an operational mission, which is to investigate contemporary sightings with military pilots, operators, and sensors to understand what's happening in our domain. You could think of that as the current time going forward. The second mission was a historical mission, which was to look at everything the United States government has done in this topic, going back to 1945, as well as look at whether or not there's been any sort of hidden program by the government that's been kept from Congress on investigating UAP, UFOs, or reverse engineering of said things. In that second mission, in that historical mission, anybody who had previously signed non-disclosure agreements that protect classified information, they were allowed to come on in. And if they thought that they had access to or was supporting evidence for this investigation, to come in and tell us all about it. And then we would go and investigate what they had to say. We then had the National Archives. We had all military service archives. We had some of the combatant command archives, the intelligence community archives, NASA. We would investigate what they have to say, going back as far as those archives go to identify and say, hey, if you came in and named a program, whose program was it? What is it? How did that relate to what the person was describing? And document all that, which we did. And that was the last report that I signed out when I retired. So in it, there is a bunch of programs that were named. Those are all classified. We found all those programs are and reported those back up to Congress. And Congress's concern is that there was a program that they did not have insight into. And that is not the case, according to what we found is that everything that's been named or identified has a legitimate oversight committee. It's been reported out. It may be state-of-the-art capabilities that if somebody were to see, they didn't understand. But that's the scope of the investigation. Vergano asks and states, it's fair to say that you had access to all the classified world that people have pointed to before as hiding some sort of program like this in the past. And you look there. You found no evidence of this story that the government has somehow been sitting on aliens for the last 60 plus years. Kirkpatrick says, that's right. So everything that people have pointed to, we went and investigated and found no evidence to support that. Again, a lot of these things are real R&D or real state-of-the-art programs, not extraterrestrial, but it is completely understandable. Vergano says, you know, there's been a lot of concern that excessive classification is playing a role here, that people can't even knock down these claims. Is that a fair complaint, or how would you describe that? Like, you can't tell somebody that they didn't see something they're not going to see because you're not allowed to talk about it. How's that been a factor here? Kirkpatrick says, in some instances, yes, obviously, because if somebody inadvertently got access to something or had unauthorized access to something, you can't go and explain to them everything about it. And so that's where you get into another issue of who actually has access to that information on the Hill. And most people don't understand that. Congressional members don't all get access to everything. And Vergano goes on to say, we should point out that none of these people who call themselves whistleblowers is or are describing this supposed conspiracy came to you with evidence of hidden technology. And Kirkpatrick says, right, most people that came now, there are some that had firsthand eyewitness accounts of something, but that's something that turns out to be something else. But for the whistleblowers and the public eye, all of them did not come in. So I really have two sets of people. I have a group of people who legitimately have something to say and share. We have others that would rather go to the public or to the Hill and not come in and share that information, which to me is an immediate red flag on viability of anything they have to say. So I had to get a lot of the information that those other people were sharing through second and third parties, because it all comes down to the same group of individuals, you know, recirculating this story, and the story has been around for decades. End of story. You know, this is something that has been spoken of for the longest time, that Arrow did not completely go all out to say and find all of what entails in the hidden archives. So this is up for debate still, right? All right, so going on now to recent and past UFO sightings. With our UFO hotspot, with stories and sightings coming in from the National UFO Reporting Center. The eyewitness states that they saw a white shape that was estimated to be the size of 7 helicopters. They viewed this from the land, and it was north from this person, and the angle of elevation was 79 beneath the clouds, a bit higher than a helicopter. Estimated speed, it moved 5 inches in 3 to 4 seconds from their perspective. And this is their story. At night, it was made out of multiple light orbs moving in synchronicity. The light orbs were in a pentagon shape formation. What I saw looked as if it was one object with multiple lights attached to it. The lights were in this pentagon shape, and the orbs were far apart from one another. It sort of looked like a huge object above the Earth. The weather was cloudy. You could still see the moon through the clouds and one bright star, but you can't see any of the other stars or any satellites. The thing I saw was very vivid, and it was moving in between the Earth and the clouds. It looked like it was pretty close to the Earth, but not too close. I saw it from the window, so it disappeared from my area of vision quickly. Based on my land perspective, in a few seconds, the thing made out of at least 5 light orbs moved by a few inches to the right in the night sky. I quickly rushed outside in 10 seconds, but by that time I was outside, nothing was in the sky anymore. The lights were white. The light orbs were white in number of at least 5 or more, as I clearly remember the pentagon shape, but the square part of the pentagon was more of a rectangle than a square. A rectangle that was long on the vertical side of it. The sides of the rectangle were longer. And they go on to say, in a side note, although I saw a formation of light orbs, it kind of looked like it was bigger thing with lights on it. Just like how the airplanes I see in the sky at night have multiple lights on them when they cross the night sky. But this thing couldn't have been a plane, as the lights were very spread apart and it didn't seem to be an airplane shape. When did this occur? This occurred on March 12, 2024. The next UFO hotspot, this witness expresses the shape of this craft kept changing, and it was a dull orange, relatively small. They viewed it from the land, and the closest distance, it was just hard for them to say. This is their story. 5 crafts in formation. While standing on my roof, I observed 5 dull orange lights moving from the southwest to northeast in a V formation. After approximately 15 seconds, they scrambled amongst themselves before settling back in a V formation, going in the same direction. The sighting lasted 45 to 60 seconds, and they were observed from horizon to horizon. They did not blink or change color at any time. This occurred in Platteville, Wisconsin. The next UFO sighting. This occurred on March 12th, 2024. Duration was about 10 to 15 seconds. And it occurred in Fort Smith, Arkansas. The person states, immediately after watching the SpaceX Dragon flew over us, an unknown curved-shaped object flew the opposite way. No lights, no sounds. The SpaceX Dragon capsule came from our left to right from our view, but immediately after it passed over us, a curved-shaped object with no lights, no sound, and no smoke started to appear from the right to left, moving pretty fast. Not faster than the Dragon, though. My girlfriend was with me at the time, but I was the one who caught it first. I tried to record immediately since I recorded the Space Dragon re-entry, but the object went behind our streetlight and we both lost sight of it. Whatever it was, we truly believed it was not an airplane. Airplanes were out that night too, and we seen them rather easily. No way it was birds. It had no lights, although it was strange for us to be able to see it kind of glow somewhat, but not really bright, but enough to see it. And automatically assumed UFO or UAP. It also happened right after the re-entry, so coincidence? Maybe aliens wanted to watch the SpaceX Dragon re-entry too, but who knows? I've seen plenty of objects that are unexplainable, but this one was the most recent and clear sighting. Happened just after 4:44 a.m. Central Standard Time. Fascinating. The next UFO sighting. This occurred on March 11th of 2024. Duration less than 2 minutes, and it happened in Lenore, North Carolina. The shape was oval, color white metallic, and angle elevation 75. Title states, two white metallic oval sphere unidentifiable objects moving in unison through the sky at a steady speed. 7:58 a.m. in Lenore, North Carolina, this morning observed two unidentifiable objects in the sky moving in unison approximately 240 degrees southwest in the direction of Brown Mountain, North Carolina. Clear morning, blue sky with no obstructing clouds. Two aerial objects observed moving at a steady rate of speed. One slightly above and behind the lead object, did not observe to be identifiable as commercial planes, military aircraft, drones, or weather balloons. Completely silent. The only sounds audible were birds and the humming of my vehicle. No trace of exhaust smoke, no lights flashing or visible. Observed for nearly 2 minutes and 30 seconds, of which were caught on my camera video. Attempts made to zoom in closer made the objects look fuzzy. Visual identification would indicate oval sphere in form, white, possibly metallic. Ruling out known aircraft, objects appear to be UFO in nature. And as a note, they put, a wing is just barely visible on one of the objects in the video. Fascinating stuff. That's it for the UFO report today. I'm Heidi Hollis, reminding you to always keep your eyes on the sky and your mind open.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.